worked in something called the Administrative Science Center, which provided funds to pay my way there. But, you know, that was also, in switching topics slightly, but just put a bigger context, that's also a time of a lot of change in my life. I had got married in the middle of my time at Pittsburgh, and I got married to a woman I had met traveling before I went to the University of Pittsburgh. After I worked at SDC, I took some time, went to Europe, and during that 3 months in Europe, I met this woman in Berlin who was actually from East Berlin. At that time, there was that big division. And while I was in the middle of that master's program, we decided by writing that she would come over here. And so that was the first year of my marriage. And then, during that time at Pittsburgh, I became convinced that I probably would be better off to move into another field because I was not sure that social psychology was a field that I could really make a living in either. And I decided to go into clinical psychology because that at least had the possibility not only of an academic job, but also one in private practice, for example, or in hospital settings. So I could have applied probably into the program at Pittsburgh, but I decided to try elsewhere, and don't ask me why. To my memory, I only applied at Stanford, and I did get in there. So then the final 3 years of my graduate training were at Stanford in the clinical program. I became kind of interested in behavior therapy and behavioral ideas that were coming to the fore at that time. When I went to Stanford, one of the big people there was Al Bandura. Sure. But Al Bandura was a young beginning assistant professor. It's not like he's the man who now is known as a big star in psychology, but he was an assistant professor who was interested in and propagating various kinds of theories, including kind of a cognitive behavioral approach. And so that was somewhat interesting to me, although I didn't work with him. There were one or two other clinicians there who kind of were beginning to develop a behavioral perspective. I worked for Hilgard's hypnosis lab. Now, Hilgard is well known for his theories of learning books, but he also, at the end of his career, had an interest in hypnosis. The hypnosis work, the way I started thinking about it more was in terms of individual differences. And I started recognizing that, I mean, hypnosis is well known. Some people are hypnotizable and some people are just not. And so Hilgard's lab was trying for a while to understand those differences, and that led naturally to kind of individual difference thinking. Walter Mischel was there at that time, starting out, no young assistant professor. But it was interesting in personality at that time. But in the end, there was a visiting professor, Douglas Jackson, who later developed many personality inventories of his own, who was a visiting professor whom I met and became interested in his kind of viewpoint on individual differences and scale building and so on. Another important person who was there was Quinn McNamara, who was a psychological statistician, and I would say was a major influence in my own thinking about the importance of quantitative methods, as well as Jackson, who was interested in the methodology for individual differences and how to measure the kind of traits that he wanted to measure and so on. So that was the beginning of my real interest in quantitative methods related to individual differences. Anyway, so the point is, even though I went into the clinical program at Stanford, I quickly became interested in individual differences, and that morphed over into what are actually the methods that are behind that. But having said that, my methods research and thinking really only came after I got my PhD and when I went on a postdoc to the Educational Testing Service for a year.